This is Remarkable. Welcome to Remarkable, a marketing podcast for podcasters who aren't marketers. I'm your host and teacher, Dave Mooring, and I want to know what it takes to stand out, get noticed, and build a committed audience of listeners and fans. I'm on a quest to find out what makes a podcast remarkable, and I invite you to join me each week as I interview other podcasters, experts, and marketers. The Remarkable Podcast is part of the Super Simple Podcast Network. If you'd like additional marketing resources, early access to my free podcast marketing course designed to help you grow your audience, and to be notified when I release future episodes, head on over to theremarkablepodcast.com. This is episode number 17. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, Wilson to be exact, and when I was mostly school age, middle school and high school, my dad worked about 35 minutes away in Greenville, North Carolina. He was the director of an alcohol and drug abuse treatment center, and not far down the road from where he worked was a little barbecue restaurant. It's called Bee's Barbecue, and if you're not familiar with Eastern North Carolina style barbecue, it's essentially a whole hog cooked over a fire pit, slow cooked for a while, and then it's chopped, and then there's usually some sort of vinegar pepper sauce added to it. But the reason I'm telling you this is because occasionally my dad would bring home a barbecue for dinner from work. He would always get home at the same time every day. My mom was an entrepreneur and was in real estate, so occasionally my dad would get home before her. So sometimes he would bring Bee's Barbecue home, and I didn't think a whole lot about Bee's Barbecue until a little bit later. I started doing some research probably 6 or 7 years ago now for some marketing lessons and seminars that I was teaching small business owners about marketing, and I'm a big fan of Seth Godin and his talk about being remarkable and standing out. And Bee's Barbecue popped back up on my radar. And as I dug around a little bit more, I realized that they don't have a website and they don't do Facebook. They're not on Yelp, Instagram. They don't have a carryout menu. They only serve very limited number of things, barbecue chicken and pork and a couple of sides. There's nowhere to eat inside. They don't take credit cards, only cash. And there's a couple of red picnic tables outside. And it's just kind of a little hole in the wall, but every day they're open, they sell out. And when they sell out, they go home. And every day that they're open, there's a line out the door waiting to get Bee's Barbecue. And it occurred to me that if you have a product that your audience wants and that people really enjoy and they're passionate about, regardless of what the product is, then you really don't have to actively pursue marketing. You don't really have to do a whole lot. And we hear the phrase that the most effective, cost-effective form of marketing is word of mouth. But I don't think we always put it into context. But if you think about Bee's Barbecue, that's exactly what's happening, is that they've built a brand and a product that is so desirable that people spread the word, as I'm doing right here talking to you, and they don't need to actively go out and pursue marketing. Now, if they wanted to expand or grow, they wanted to have multiple locations, sure, marketing and advertising would probably be a way to build that audience, but they essentially have a lifestyle business and they don't have to do a whole lot of marketing. The takeaway for you and your podcast, and this is what I've taken away from several of my guests as well, that if you understand your audience and you're providing a quality product, then when we talk about marketing your podcast, then it really becomes easy. And like Seth Godin says, if you find 10 passionate fans who will tell 10 more people about your podcast, then that's 100. And if each of them tells 10 more people, then that's 1,000. And I know if you're listening to this, you'd probably be happy with at least getting started with 1,000 downloads per episode, 1,000 true fans, which is also something that Kevin Kelly talks about as well. So the point being is that when you think about marketing your podcast, I really want to encourage you to take the time to focus on the product, to make sure you're producing something that's so incredible that the listeners that you do have will be eager to go share it with others and bring more people to you, and that you don't have to go begging for reviews and you don't have to go begging for shares. Sure, you want to put it out and make it easy for them to share, but just focus on the product itself first. And that's the first point that I want to leave you with. And I haven't mentioned this yet, but part of the reason I'm doing this monologue episode is because this is the conclusion of the first season of the Remarkable Podcast. I'm going to be taking a break for the month of July and part of August, and then I'll come back at the end of August with a whole new season with new interviews and new guests. So I'm really looking forward to that, and it's pretty timely because I started my podcast about a year ago. Now, I didn't publish anything until end of January of this year, 2016, but I actually started recording last summer before I went to the Podcast Movement Conference. And you can listen to my episode where my friend Jay Posey interviews me. I think we go into that just a little bit, but I started the podcast last summer in June, went to Podcast Movement and really met a lot of great people. And many of those people that I met, or several of the people that I met, became some of my first guests, like Harry Duran, John Naster, Jared Morris, Glenn the Geek, Jared Easley, and even Aaron Walker and Danielle Watson. And what was interesting is I also ran into Nick Loper, but I didn't really connect with him until further down the road. And I was introduced through some of the people that I met. I believe that John Naster introduced me to Meron Bereket, who I will have on the show soon. And he introduced me to Nathan Chan. And I was also introduced to Brian Orr through some of my guests, as well as Nicole Welch through my good friend Charles Gupton. So most of the guests that I had stem from Podcast Movement, and the timing couldn't be better because I'm going to be heading out a week from today when I'm recording this. So I'll be heading up to Chicago to Podcast Movement 2016, and I'm really excited about reconnecting with my connections and the people that I met and some of my guests and meeting some of those people in person and really reaching out and meeting some new people, some people that you'll be hearing from in the fall season of Remarkable. So I thought it was very timely to go ahead and wrap up the season and give you a few more tips. The second thing I want to tell you about is another trip down memory lane from my junior year of high school. There was an exchange student in Wilson for a year from the island of Mallorca off the coast of Spain. And he was doing his senior year at my high school, and a buddy of mine and I became really good friends with Juan. And we spent a lot of weekends together hanging out. And when Juan left at the end of his senior year, my junior year, he invited us to visit with him back on the island of Mallorca. And I think it was one of those things where typically someone would invite you to come visit in that scenario. And the door would be open, but most people don't usually take that offer. Most people don't walk through that door. But I guess I tend to latch on to certain adventures. And so my buddy Jeff and I decided that we would definitely go and visit Juan. And so we worked out all the details. And sure enough, the summer after my junior year in high school, my buddy Jeff and his brother and I, the three of us, headed overseas to spend 3 weeks on the island of Mallorca, which is as amazing as it sounds if you've never been there. It's an island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, is as beautiful and peaceful and awesome as it sounds. So I spent the summer over there, and that really had a big impact on me. I ended up in college studying Spanish, and also ended up going to spend the summer in Mexico City, which I discussed a little bit with my interview with Nicole Welch. But another incident that happened that kind of lined up with that is that there was ran into another exchange student when I was in undergrad at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And his name is Miguel Torres. And he became really good friends with a few friends of mine and invited everybody in our circle to head back over to visit him during spring break and to stay with his family and to visit his home, essentially. And again, being someone that likes to take people up on the offer to visit and travel, and having been to Spain once, I thought it would be a fantastic opportunity. So there's probably 10 or 12 of us that decided to take our spring break and head over. So we flew into Madrid and took a train overnight to Barcelona. And I kind of knew this going into it. But the kicker here is that Miguel Torres is the son of the wine family, the Torres wine, who has several vineyards in Spain, and I believe in California and South America as well. So we ended up spending the summer, or not the summer, I'm sorry. We ended up spending spring break on the vineyards in a guest house and getting to tour Barcelona and some of the outlying areas, which was really an incredible experience. And I was able to hop on a plane and scoot over to the island of Mallorca to catch back up with my friend Juan. So I took one of the days away from the group and went over to spend some time with Juan. And Miguel was generous enough to give me a couple of bottles of wine to take as a gift to Juan's family, even though they didn't know each other. So it was really nice to go hand in hand. But one of the things that I missed while I was visiting my friend Juan is the rest of the group got to tour the winery itself. They have a really nice tour over there, and they all picked out a bottle of wine. Well, they picked out one for me, which was great. So when I got back, I got to bring home a bottle of wine from the Torres vineyard that I was able to visit. Well, just so happens that later learned that they do sell some of their wine in some of the grocery stores. I'm not sure if they still do, but the Harris Teeter grocery store chain carried some. And then there was a couple of boutique gourmet stores in this old wine that would carry some of their higher quality wine. So whenever I turned 21 and started buying wine, I would always buy the Torres wine. And it wasn't because I knew a whole lot about wine, and they do have some very good wine, but not all their wine is top notch. But I realized that whenever I would have guests over, it would be so awesome to bring out a bottle of wine from the Torres vineyards, because I would be able to tell the story, and I would have the story to share with my friends. So, you know, this bottle of wine, let me tell you about my trip to Spain, and let me tell you that I know the son of the family, and here's what I learned, and here was my experience. And just having that story and that experience with the bottle of wine really makes all the difference. And it trumps just about everything else that I could share. So it didn't matter if I could buy a high, very, very high quality, expensive bottle of wine if I didn't have a good story with it. So here's my second point. Your story is everything. So there's numbers of different ways to say it, but the point here is that people want to know your story and why you got into what you do and why you do what you do. And if your product isn't amazing, the story can make up a lot for that. So my first point was to make sure that your product is amazing and what you're putting out there is awesome. But my second point is that tell a good story. Tell us your story. Get your story out there. And I realized that that's part of the reason I wanted to conclude the season with telling you a couple of stories about me, because as crowded as the podcast market is and as crowded as it's getting, there's one thing that I have that nobody else has, and that's my experience and my stories. That's my perspective and my point of view. So I thought, let me take my own advice and I'll share you a couple of stories with you, my listeners, so you can get to know me a little bit better. But I'm hoping that these points are going to stick with you, because that's the other part of storytelling, is that I think Ramit Sethi said it best. Humans cannot stop listening to a story. So if you're telling a story, it's just in our DNA that we have to listen and we have to finish the story. So I mean, how many times have you sat in a bad movie and waiting to the end of the movie just because you couldn't not see the end of the story? So story is everything. So tell your story. And part of my story for the Remarkable Podcast, as I mentioned, is that last June when I started recording, my intention was to build a podcast or develop a podcast about marketing for small business owners and solopreneurs. But when I got to Podcast Movement, one of the early conversations I had was with Glenn the Geek, who suggested that I niche down and find even a smaller group of people. And then if you start with a small group and you build up that tribe, then you can always add another group to it. You can always bring more people under your umbrella. And he takes that from the equestrian world, where there's different types of competitions and everybody focuses on their particular competition. So he's got a podcast for each of those. So at Podcast Movement, I was trying to think about, well, who would I target more? How would I niche down? Well, it just so happened that I ran into numerous podcasters who were doing some really fun stuff or getting things off the ground, but didn't have any background in marketing. And a lot of the questions were around, how do I market my podcast and how do I build an audience? So I thought, what better podcast topic than to have a podcast about how to market a podcast? Now, I know that there's other podcasts that are doing this, and I know that there's some really great podcasts. Some have even been mentioned by some of my guests that talk about podcasting as a whole, and they include marketing. But I'm, as someone who's passionate about marketing and helping solopreneurs and artists and experts market what they do, I thought it would be really fascinating to have a podcast to help people that are not great at marketing get great at marketing. And I also thought that it would help me as I learn about marketing podcasts and I learn about podcasting to be able to interview other podcasters and to really get entrenched in the community. And that's my third point, is to find your tribe, find the group of people you want to serve, and listen to them and find out what it is that they want from you, what it is that they're lacking, what it is that they need. So the fact that I went to Podcast Movement last year and spent so much time around podcasters and listening to what they need and what the struggles were and where everyone was in the process, it really gave me a lot of insight. And I realized that there was a need that I could meet. There was a need that I could fill. And for me, it's not about building an enormous tribe of 50,000 fans, but it's really about helping podcasters who really want to start, who are really passionate about what it is they want to do, and helping them figure out how to make an amazing product, how to tell their story, and then how to use social media and marketing and digital marketing and networking, and how do you go about getting the word out and connecting and finding more of your tribe. But my third point is this: regardless of what your topic is, find out where other people are already meeting about that topic. Find out, do they meet in person? Are there meetups? Are there organizations? Do they meet up online in Twitter chats, on Blab, in Facebook groups? And become a part of that community, not to manipulate them or not to trick them or not to try to peddle your wares or just do a bunch of self-promotion, but to really get involved and listen. So many times I've been a part of a Facebook group about podcasting and I just see question after question where people are asking, how do I reach more people? How do I connect with my audience? How do I market my show? And hearing the words and the phrases they use really kind of helps me get a better understanding of what they need and maybe who I can find to help answer some of those questions. So I really hope that you've learned as much as I have from this first season of Remarkable. I really enjoyed it, and I have learned quite a bit, more than I could share in just one episode. And depending upon how this episode is received, I may do a few more of these over the next few months and just kind of share a little bit more insights and maybe answer a few questions. Some of the feedback I've gotten is that I think several of my listeners wanted to know what more details about things like using online courses and lead captures and some of the more technical things. And again, if you're not from a marketing background, some of that may be new to you and a bit unfamiliar. So I'd also like to plug my website, supersimple.com. If you haven't checked that out, I do have some content up there, some blog posts, and I've got some courses that I'm launching in the near future that will help you answer some of those questions about getting your website set up, building traffic, and using social media and things like that. So if that's some of the issue that you're having is on the how-to end as opposed to what to do, but how to do it, go ahead and check that out. And if you are interested in learning something specific, feel free to shoot me an email or catch me on Twitter and let me know, and I'll see if I can address that in an upcoming blog post or lesson of some sort that way. And before I wrap up, I do want to thank a couple of people. My friend Jay Posey, who has been a huge encouragement, as he's an artist himself and a writer and knows what it's like to push through and ship the work. And I appreciate him being a guest and also interviewing me for a previous episode. I want to once again thank all my guests who gave me their time and shared their insight and expertise and background with us. That was very generous, and I don't take that very lightly. Also want to thank Julio Gonzalez, who you've heard me mention at the end of each of my episodes, who helped me with my theme music. That was custom theme music that he helped me come up with. And as another reference back to Podcast Movement, that's where Julio and I met. We met on a bus one night on the ride over to one of the evening events, and we got to talking. I'm a musician, and I grew up playing saxophone and drums, later guitar, and eventually became a DJ, which I think was my connection to Harry Duran. We talked about that a little bit. So I'm a big lover of music, and especially like what people are doing. But Julio, I found out, has created music for movie trailers and commercials, and does a lot of podcast music and editing and things like that. So I asked him if he could help me come up with something remarkable for my remarkable podcast, and he agreed. So I let him know about my style and what I wanted, and he helped me come up with something that I believe suits my speed and my tone and the way I present and the way I talk. And I think the theme music does a great job. It's catchy and memorable and really flows along with me. So again, another thanks to Julio for that. And I also want to give a quick shout out and a thanks to my graphic designer, Ben Schwabauer. And you can find Ben at whoisben.com. I first met Ben back around 2005 when he was a freelance graphic designer, and we hired him at the company I used to work for, Crosscom, to do graphic design work, both for websites and for print. And I've always been a huge fan of his work. So he helped me. He's done tons of client work over the past 11 years now. And he also developed my logo for my digital marketing agency, Burlap Sky. And he's created my logo for Super Simple. And he recently helped me redo. I had based the remarkable artwork on some of the designs that he had done originally, but he did not do my original remarkable artwork. But since then, I have, now that I know what I'm doing a little bit more and I'm planning to stick around, I reached back out to Ben to help him help me get my artwork to the next level. So if you see any of my new artwork, that's the work of Ben Schwabauer. So if you need graphic design work for your podcast or for your show, cover art, anything for your website or blog, social media, please hit up Ben and tell him I sent you. Again, that's whoisben.com, and he did not pay me to do this. This is not a sponsored post. This is my giving him thanks. And lastly, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, whether this is your first episode or you've listened to every single one. I appreciate it, and I hope that you will continue to listen, and I hope that I will continue to add value to you. So that's it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Remarkable, part of the Super Simple Podcast Network. As always, I appreciate you taking time to listen, and I hope you got some valuable insight from the stories that I shared and the tips that I gave you today. You can find my notes, relevant links from this episode, as well as a few pictures from my trips to Spain, to Mallorca, to Barcelona, to visit my friend Juan and then my friend Miguel Torres. And I'll also throw in a picture from my trip to Mexico. I'm going to go dig them up and I'll put them on the website for you. So you can find all that at supersimple.com/purplecow. That's right. I'll give a shout out to Seth Godin. And since I've already used Dave as a short link, I'm going to use Purple Cow. Hopefully that'll stick out. So supersimple.com/purplecow. And if you enjoy this episode, make sure you share it with someone else or other episodes. Please do me a favor and just share it. That's my main ask of you. And also, if you are a podcaster and interested in connecting with a community of other podcasters that are interested in learning how to market and grow their show, Join us on Facebook. We have got a Facebook group called Podcast Marketing, and you can just find it by searching Podcast Marketing on Facebook. And last but not least, as always, if you have a question about marketing, a suggestion or feedback, or if you just want to connect with me, you can email me at dave@supersimple.com. I would certainly love to hear from you, and I will respond. This episode of Remarkable is sponsored by Bethesda Roasting Company, a North Carolina-based small-batch gourmet coffee roaster that prides itself on offering only the highest quality, single-origin coffee from around the world, perfectly roasted to present the best flavors of each varietal they sell. In addition to using only quality beans, all coffees are roasted within 72 hours of being shipped. In comparison, most coffee you buy from the store, even from gourmet grocers and boutiques, are at best several weeks old, if not months. And I can tell you from experience that if you've never had truly fresh coffee, perfectly roasted and then shipped directly to you, you don't know what you're missing. Nothing you can buy from a store compares to freshly roasted coffee from Bethesda Roasting Company. But don't take my word for it, head on over to BethesdaCoffee.com to check out their monthly subscription plans. And then use code SUPERSIMPLE50 at checkout to save 50% on your first purchase of their Explorer or Adventurer subscriptions. That's BethesdaCoffee.com, and I promise you won't be disappointed. Our theme music was composed by Julio Gonzalez at Zymer. Zymer, or Remix spelled backwards, offers sound design and audio post-production for podcasts, video, audiobooks, game, apps, and radio. In addition to my theme music, I've also been using Zymer for some of my post-production work, and I've been extremely pleased with the result. You can learn more or contact them today at Zymer.co. That's Zymer.co. And tell Julio you heard about Zymer on the Remarkable podcast and save 50% on any of their services. And if you would like additional marketing resources, early access to my free podcast marketing course designed to help you grow your audience, and to be notified when I release future episodes, head on over to theremarkablepodcast.com. That's it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Remarkable.